It's tempting to become discouraged by all that's bad in the news lately, so we were happy to learn about the work of Rose Martin of Ann Arbor, Michigan. For the past 30 years, Martin's been a one-woman missionary to the less fortunate in her city. She runs the Peace Neighborhood Center, where she finds shelter for the homeless, cooks and delivers meals to hungry families, and locates services for neglected children. Drug and alcohol abusers seek Rose for help, and those who need an ear to sort things out find her a wise and willing listener. After raising her own 7 boys and 1 girl, Rose Martin has finally found time to write a book about her work. It's called One Rose Blooming and starts with a gripping description of her own life, which Rose says is a fortunate one.
I have real friends, so I've led a charmed life because I've had the kinds of support, although there was a lot of hectic stuff happening and a whole bunch of crazy stuff and a whole bunch of pain and agony happening. I also had people who were good role models in my life, people who are genuine friends and still friends today. And that's why my life has been charmed.
But reading further along, I find that you were abused as a child. You lived in 38 foster homes. You were often drunk as a young woman. You were an unwed mother. You were married to a man who beat you.
That's correct.
How have you reconciled these personal experiences with what you've been able to do with your community?
Because it enables me to really understand how a person feels who has come to me for help. You know, I also say in my book that when a drunk comes to me and says, I want to change my life, I understand that. When a woman comes to me and she's pregnant and the man has taken off and she's alone and doesn't know what she's going to do, I understand that because I've had the experience. So, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And I like the fact that people from all walks of life come in. You know, we have folks that come in sometimes, not often, who are of means. And everything that they've tried or that their family has tried has failed. And they come to the Peace Neighborhood Center and it works for them. And that makes me feel real good as a human being to be a part of that kind of success.
There's a boy you write about who comes from means. His name is Jason, and he called you when he wanted to kill himself.
Yes. A kid who had been staying with me, who was homeless, who was 16, named Johnny, had told him to call me because I listen to kids and I know how to help kids without kids getting in trouble. So when he called me that day, particularly when he fired the gun and I heard that and knew he was serious.
He fired a gun while you were listening?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that scared me, and my first instinct was give him to the suicide people, you know, try to get him to call this number for the suicide hotline. So I started rifling through the papers on my desk trying to come up with that number. And he wouldn't take it. He said, no, Johnny said you would help me. Johnny said you'd help me. And then he went on to tell me about how he figured his parents loved money more than they loved him. And he had some things that he felt that he wanted to share that he never could share. And he didn't feel like they really cared about him. So after a while, it was the night before Thanksgiving. After a while, I said to him, I said, Jason, listen, I got a lot of homeless folks that I have to deliver these baskets to. And I've got people who have families who live in public housing who need this food. Why don't you come and help me? And at first he said no, so I had to really talk to him about 10 or 15 more minutes before I got him to say okay, he would. I said, I'll tell you what, if you help me to deliver these baskets, I'll talk to your dad. He said, you're going to talk to my dad? My dad's a racist. I says, I will talk to your father. All I need to do now is get this food to folks, and then I'll go talk with him. And he says, I'll postpone my death to see how you interact with my dad.
He put off shooting himself just to see this?
That's what he said. He said, I will postpone my death. But what was good about this, too, is that Jason got an opportunity to see other kids and other people who were living a lot worse than he in terms of daily stuff. You know, one house he went to had an eviction notice on the door. And I'll never forget this, Corva. One house he went to, there was feces and all kinds of stuff that had accumulated on this baby bottle, and the other kid that wasn't much bigger than the baby was grabbing the bottle to jam it in the baby's mouth. And he saw these things, you know. So I think that was a good experience for Jason to have had prior to me going home to deal with Daddy and Mommy Dearest. But my whole thing was to meet them, you know, where parents meet. I'm a mother. I have 7 sons. And I know how parents feel about their children, and I want to talk about that. You know, you can't watch them when they get this age day and night, and you have to somehow listen to them when they're talking so that when you're not there to watch them, they'll make the proper decisions. You know, that's a horrible thing for that kid to be thinking about killing himself when he's got everything in the world to live for.
How is Jason today? What's he up to?
Jason is real good. He has started a business. He is living now in Arizona. So he's doing real, real well.
But
he's
doing
real well.
He stays in touch with you, though.
Oh, yeah. I think the greatest thing, Corver, is when they show up. Kids who have grown up or kids that we've really helped just show up. Last summer, a kid showed up who had not been at that Peace Neighborhood Center for about 18 years. He's a police officer now in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he showed up at that Peace Neighborhood Center expecting to see me.
And you were there.
Yeah, and I was there. I was there shucking some peas because I was trying to make our younger kids, 7, 8 years old, I'm teaching them how to eat more vegetables. Vegetables are good. We're going to eat vegetables. And the reason why you don't eat vegetables is because most people cook them out of a can. I'm going to do it fresh for you, and you're going to love them. So I was there shucking some peas, and he walked through the door. And just the idea that he expected me to be there was almost overwhelming for me. Now he was returning with his son, and he gave me some wonderful accolades, which I don't deserve singularly. He told me that he was the father to his son today that he was because of the things I taught him as a young kid coming up.
Rose, do you find that people are unwilling to help other people in trouble? It's one thing to donate canned goods to a soup kitchen, but you have taken in 500 kids into your home. You have donated all this personal time and effort to see the Peace Neighborhood Center succeed, and you haven't gotten a whole lot of extra money to help, at least with the kids in your home. How is it that people can't seem to find ways to help in their own neighborhoods the way you have?
Our society, in my opinion, teaches us to be self-centered. Only think about you. This will be best for you. This car is made just for you. And I think that these kinds of things is what cause people to be self-centered. And something else I've learned after 30 years of service, 9 times out of 10, the person needs a lot less and wants a lot less than you're willing to give them.
Rose Martin's stories can be found in her book, One Rose Blooming. Rose, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.